All right. Well, hey, again, welcome and thanks for being a part of this morning service. I know the weather had some people nervous today, but we just knew that it was going to be a great day, and we trusted the Lord to have our services today. Of course, the roads were clear this morning, so we're thankful for that. But thank you to all of you who made it. And of course, a lot of you are staying home today, and maybe you're in a place where you weren't able to get out of your driveway or whatever. And we want to say thank you for joining us online. Do not turn off your smartphone or your tablet or your flip phone, however you're watching this. I don't know. But anyway, thank you so much for joining us online, as well as people who join us around the world through our live stream and our podcast, our Facebook app. We just love you guys, and thank you for being a part of our church service today. Just type in, if you would, and let us know where you're watching from. Also, you can give online with our app or on our website, ask for prayer, whatever you need. So we are in our Advent series, and this is the third week of our Advent series. How many of you guys have been blessed so far with the messages in the Christmas season, the hope and peace sermons? Good. My prayer is that that's always a blessing to you. So we're in this season where we're asking questions, what about hope and what about peace? And that was the first two talks of the series. And the Advent series season is a time of year that churches all around the world celebrate in the same way. And they celebrate on these four themes of hope, peace, love, and joy. And today you're going to get to hear the message, what about love, and what does it mean to receive God's love and to walk in God's love? But to hear that message, we actually have a guest with us today. And let me just set up who this person is, because I'm telling you, she is dynamite. She's just an amazing communicator, speaker, but human being. And honestly, my wife and I have just really taken to Miss Nancy, and we just love her so much and so thankful for who she is and what she stands for. And she's a Volunteers fan. Come on, somebody. You know she's godly. She's got full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So anyway, 35 years ago, Nancy was called by God to start a ministry, and you're going to hear more about that for young ladies and girls who are caught up in life-controlling issues, substance abuse, trafficking, homelessness, whatever. And God really put it on her heart to provide care for them, but also provide the gospel for them. And she's going to talk more about some of that history. But a couple years ago, we connected to Nancy and Mercy Multiplied through our women's conference here at LifePoint Church, and they've been a part of our life ever since. And I like to tell Nancy, like, if you need something from LifePoint, we're in. We're partners with you. So here's how you have already been a blessing to them. Currently in their Nashville center, they have about 25 young ladies who are in residence there. They live there. They each have their own room and their own space, and they're going through the process with Mercy Multiplied. And I just really felt compelled back in September. I said, hey, we want to partner with you guys at Christmas, and our church gives away 10% of all of our income. And every year at Christmas, we make it a habit to do one big Christmas surprise gift. And this year, we wanted it to be Mercy Multiplied. And so we showed up about 3 weeks ago with our staff, and we had all the girls come and sit in the room. They thought they were getting a devotional from another preacher coming in, you know. And I just said, hey, y'all spread out, because we got some things for them. And your giving made this following thing possible. Check this out.
I feel very loved, and like when you gave us the gift, you like really looked into our eyes, and like it's like it was deeper than just gift giving to you, and you're all like kind of crying right now.
Blessing to a lot of people, but we also like to give big gifts. We just want to present Nancy Alcorn and Mercy Multiplied.
classified a check from LifePoint for $50,000.
I want you to know your generosity gave about $400 or $500 worth of gifts to each one of those girls. Some of them said to us, we've never gotten Christmas presents before. Tears were flowing like crazy. The gift to Mercy Multiplied is because of your faithfulness and generosity. Can we get up and show some love for Nancy Alcorn? Come on, everybody.
Love you guys. Thank you. You can be seated. I'm telling you, I was so shocked. I don't know why I'm shocked at the blessing of the Lord, because He has blessed for 35 years so that we can build buildings debt-free and take care of young women who otherwise wouldn't be able to get the help they need, and we take them in free of charge, and that $50,000 is going to go towards helping those young women that are desperate for help to come in free of charge, whether they're addicts or young women struggling with who have been sexually abused, sex trafficked, self-harm, addictions, eating disorders, unplanned pregnancy. Doesn't matter what the problem is, Jesus is the answer. And because of people like you who give that kind of money, we are free of every bit of state and federal funding and any money that has strings attached to it that would interfere with the freedom to share the full gospel of Jesus Christ. So you are literally making a way for young women to receive Christ, to be forgiven for things that they once thought were unforgivable, and to experience for themselves the love of Christ. And we are going to be talking about the love of Christ this morning, because we're getting ready to celebrate the greatest gift that this planet has ever been given, the birth of Jesus Christ. And He was born for a reason. He was born to live and to die for our transgressions and our sins and our iniquities, so that we could receive freedom and we could be healed and whole, spirit, soul, and body. We weren't meant just to receive Christ and limp through life with issues and weighing us down and things like shame and guilt and condemnation and oppression. That is not a part of what God wants us to live in and walk in. And we're going to dig into that a little bit this morning. But I'm so thankful for the love of God. I'm so thankful that God sent His only Son so that we could receive freedom. I'm so thankful that God called me, and I'm thankful personally that God called me into the ministry, because I never thought that I was worthy of that. But the devil is the one that tries to make people feel unworthy and less than. And I got news for you. There's not an unworthy, less than person in here. And if that's on you today, we're going to get it off of you before the service is over, because you need to know that you are loved, that you matter. And I thank God that it's 9:30 instead of 8, because I'm a little bit more awake. People ask me if I'm a morning person, and I go, yeah, right before I go to bed. I'm a morning person. So this morning was a little tough, but I'm thankful to be here. I love you guys. I love your pastors. I love this church. And it honestly has the greatest spirit that of any church that I've ever been in. And I was not surprised to hear that this is the fastest growing church in America. And I believe that it's just the beginning of what God is going to do. So I love to meet pure-hearted leaders who just want to see people have great lives and to know the love of God, to know the love of God, to experience the love of God, and to live and walk in freedom. So anyway, I want to be able to connect with you in a great way, and I think part of connection is kind of understanding where somebody's coming from. So after working for the government for 8 years, God called me 35 years ago to start an organization that started out as Mercy Ministries. Now we call it Mercy Multiplied. And I just want to show you in about 3 or 4 minutes the last 35 years of my life, what it looks like. But I want you to know there were three things that God spoke to me 35 years ago. He said, I want you to take young women in free of charge. They have to want to come, but I want you to take them in free of charge. We take ages 13 to 32. He said, I want you to give 10% of what comes into your ministry to other ministries that are doing great things for God, and your needs will be met through your giving. So I believe because of our giving is why the Holy Spirit laid it on your pastor's hearts to bless us with such an amazing gift. Because as we sow, then God speaks to people to give back. That's how it works, and it works that way for you too. And then the third thing God showed me, like I already referenced, is do not take any money from any governmental place or any United Way or any other place that will restrict your freedom to share Christ, because you need the full freedom to share about the only one who can heal a broken heart and set a captive free. And so that's what we're all about. And I want you to know, when we changed our name to Mercy Multiplied, it was for two reasons. One is because of the multiplication that's going on in the lives of girls who thought they were rejects, castaways, throwaways. We've got girls that are missionaries, school teachers, successful businesswomen. We have one girl, if you look in the video, you're going to see a man and a woman standing there with a whole bunch of kids. That's not all the kids they have. They actually have 10 now. But when she was at Mercy with a severe eating disorder, she was told by medical doctors that she would never be able to live a normal life. And if she ever did manage to live a normal life, she would always have issues with her body. And that, by the way, forget about ever being able to birth children. So whose report will you believe? 10 babies later. So I'm thinking about flying to Texas and making sure that they understand how this is all happening. So, because 10 might be enough. But anyway, I just love that. And they live in Texas and they make a lot of money, and God has blessed them with this amazing family. And I just love it to tell the devil what a liar he is. So y'all look for that, all those kids hanging off that couple. But I want you to take a look at and see, and then we'll connect with the message here. So. From when I first started in 1983, the needs have become increasingly worse. Whereas one girl might have been sexually abused or been pregnant, or maybe have a drug problem, today one girl can walk in and have all of the above plus more.
I was very obsessed with not feeling any
suicidal phase in my life. I started cutting and I had my first.
And I often wondered where God was throughout this time. I
didn't. On top of that,
my first line of cocaine.
Addicted from that point on.
Due to my alcohol addiction,
I didn't lose
the baby.
This is
what you got
yourself.
This was all life was. Like, I was done with it.
The severity of the issues are much greater, and yet it's the same result. He is in the business of healing broken hearts and setting captives free. And even though the issues are much more traumatic today than they were, you know, when I first started, he's up for the challenge, and there's nothing too hard for God.
I began to see that he really valued me and everything that I was when I didn't think anybody could ever value
that. After that moment, I really began to invite Jesus into my life.
God has set me free from self-harm.
I am free. I am free from all condemnation.
I'm grateful for the foundation that Mercy helped to lay in my life.
There's so many great things that are going on through the lives of the girls. I mean, literally, God is multiplying himself through the outreaches, all the things that these young women are doing in the United States and beyond. And really, Mercy Multiplied is a more accurate description of what's happening, because all these years later, since 1983, we have thousands and thousands and thousands of young women that are out there doing great things because of what they experienced and the change that Christ did. He gave them a new heart and a new spirit, a new vision for their life, new purpose. It's a perfect description of what God does at Mercy every day. Mercy Multiplied. When God said, take girls in free of charge, give 10% of everything that comes into other ministries, and not to take any state or government funding or any money that restricts the freedom to share Christ, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was God. When I first started in 1983, I remember feeling really excited. And I made the drive about 8 hours or so there, 8 and a half. And I prayed all the way there. I got there, and at that point, I did not know that God was calling this to be an international ministry. And so I raised up a program director. I was there for 7 years in Louisiana, came back to Nashville in 90 to open what was the second home. Then a few years later, we built our three-story office building on the same property. After that, we added a home in St. Louis, Missouri, Sacramento, California, started international locations of the United Kingdom, New Zealand, Canada. We own property in the Panhandle of Florida. We plan on building a home there. And I have visions for other cities in the United States and other countries as well. But I think God's vision is just continued growth, continued expansion, more outreach programs like our Freedom Keys. And our goal is to equip churches, to educate leaders, and us continuing to raise up more and more leaders from all the generations just so we can just see a perpetuation of what we're already doing continue. We're not done. We're just getting started. And the other reason that we changed our name to Mercy Multiplied is because we have developed programs through our Freedom Keys that are for guys and girls. We prayed for years that God would show us how we could take the same principles of freedom that we see set the captives free inside the walls of our residential facilities and put them in material so that it could be used in churches and prisons, in universities, in high schools, wherever people are, male, female, whatever. And we came up with, I started with Ditch the Baggage, Change Your Life, which is choices that bring change, and that's what we kind of like, our based on our counseling model inside the home and God's principles of freedom. But through that, we developed keys to freedom. So we have study guides, leader guides. We have a whole bunch of those out there, and I understand that that's one of the studies that are done right here in this church. And there was a young girl that I talked with in the first service, and she told me that she had had the privilege, after experiencing so much freedom in her life, that she had the privilege of leading one of the freedom groups here. So I just wanted to mention that. And in the next few minutes, I just want to share what's on my heart with you about the love of God. So Father, we thank you for the service. We thank you for the time we have left. I asked you to help me to say what you would have me to say in the time that's left. And I thank you, Lord, that your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish what you send it to accomplish in each and every life, whether people are watching online or all the people in this building. Lord, I pray that you would meet each and every person right where they are, and they would literally feel your love surrounding them and filling their life and filling their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And by the way, we speak death to every lie of the enemy that you may be believing about yourself. And I just decree in the name of Jesus over the next 18 minutes that there's some things that are going to change. Because I found out through reading God's word that we can actually replace the lies that we believe about ourselves and about others with God's truth. And it's a fun thing to do, actually, and it's life-changing. Who wants to live a lie? I don't want to live a lie. You know, that song we just sang, there's no lie he won't tear down. Coming after me. I got news for you. God's coming after you today. And we're going to let him, okay? Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We're getting ready to celebrate his birth, but he actually was born to die for you and I. And he loved us while we were still sinners. His love is not conditional. It is unconditional. There's nothing that we can do good enough to make him love us any more than he already does. And he's not moved by the bad things that we do. And I can prove that by telling you this. In Psalm 103, 10 through 12, it says this, that God has not dealt with us after our sin, nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad? I'm glad. If we got if we were rewarded what we deserved, none of us could experience this amazing love of God that we are celebrating today and every day, hopefully. It says, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. So no matter what you've done or what's been done to you, no matter what you've done or who you've done it with, none of that stuff matters. He has not dealt with us after our sin. He's not rewarded us according to our iniquity. He has forgiven us, and he's removed our sin as far from us as the east is from the west. So if you feel oppressed, you feel loaded down with guilt and shame and condemnation, I am telling you in the name of Jesus, I command it to be lifted off your lives right now in Jesus' name, and to receive the unconditional love of God, because he is not looking at you and I according to what we've done. If you have asked Jesus to forgive you, if you've accepted Jesus into your life, and if you haven't, you can do that a little bit later. But if you have, when God looks at you, he sees you pure and clean as freshly fallen snow. He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin, Jesus, became sin for us. He was the only perfect one that ever lived. And he who knew no sin at all ever became sin for you and I, that we might be made, it says we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And it is not anything we earn. It is a gift from God. He took our sin upon himself and paid the price so that when he stands before the Father, he can declare us not guilty. He not only not guilty, but he declares us righteous. And in righteous means in right standing with God. There is nothing that's held to our account. It's been removed from us. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's a very familiar verse, and we memorize it, and sometimes we just fly by it so fast we're not really stopping to think what it really means. God so loved us. We say the world, but put your name in that. Personalize it. For God so loved me. For God so loved Stephanie that he gave his only son, so that we would not perish, but that we could literally receive eternal life. And not just struggle and limp through life until we get to heaven. No, he died so that we could be complete, spirit, soul, and body. It's all laid out in Isaiah 53. Study that later. In 1 John 4:18, it says this, there is no fear in love. The enemy tries to get people messed up with fear. All the what ifs. What if this happens? What if that? Well, what if it doesn't? You know? It's meant to bring torment into our lives. Fear. And it says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. We're talking about love today. God is love. The love of God is manifest in the birth of Christ, who came to pay the price, the full price for our freedom. No greater love than this No greater love had any man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And God calls us his friends. Jesus laid his life down for us. There is no fear in love, because fear has torment. But guess what? Perfect love. Who's perfect love? Jesus. Perfect love has come to cast out all fear and all torment. So fear and torment, you are not allowed to operate and perpetrate your lies on anyone in this room in Jesus' name. I break the power of that over your life, and I pray you receive that by faith right now. Because the perfect one who loves us. See, I don't worry about where the money's coming from, because I know Pastor Mike and Stephanie are going to give it to me. No, I'm kidding. I don't worry about where the money's coming from. If I did, I'd be awake all night. That would be very tormenting. But I go to sleep and I sleep well, because I know God is the provider. Because why? Because God's word says, if you give, it shall be given back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So I don't have a perfect love cast out all fear. I know that the perfect love is on the job, and he's going to do a perfect work and get to me what I need. And you need to receive that for yourself right now, because there's some people in here that need some stuff. And God's on the job. He's going to chase you down. You know, 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all things. So if somebody says above all things, that should get our attention, don't you think? Listen to this. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers. Love is not wanting to point out all the things that you and I have done wrong, because we've all done things wrong. But love covers a multitude of sin. The perfect love of God. I see this operate at Mercy every day. I've seen it operate in my own life. I've experienced it in my own life. And the only place that I can find in the Bible that says there's something that never fails is 1 Corinthians 13. And it's in verse 8. It says, love never fails. When it's the real, tangible love of God, when you extend that to people, especially people that in the natural wouldn't necessarily deserve it, when we extend that to people, even people that don't want it, they can try to push us away. And I'm going to tell you a story about somebody that tried to do that to me and what happened in their life. But probably about, I think the year was, it's been about 27, 28 years ago, so around 1990 or so, 91. I was speaking at Christ Church in Nashville. It was a very large church at the time, and they were having like 3 services a day and just packed out. And so I had just come to Nashville to speak out the vision for starting a Mercy home in this area. And we now have a 40-bed facility in Brentwood, that 3-story office building sits on the property in Brentwood. And all the buildings you saw in the video are all debt-free because God provides. Amen? But at the time, we didn't have anything except we had just purchased the property, but we didn't have any buildings on it. And I was speaking at Christ Church, speaking out the vision of telling stories of what had happened in the Louisiana home, because at that time, that was the only home that we had. And you could feel a real strong presence of God there that day. And I shared testimonies, and I even had a couple of girls with me whose life had been transformed, and they shared a little. And so after the service was over, this big, tall gentleman and his wife, he was probably about maybe a little shorter than your pastor, but tall like that, tall, lanky man. And his wife was short, like Stephanie. And they're a little bit older than me, and they began to tell me about their daughter. And this big man, big masculine, nice-looking gentleman, tears streaming down his face. He said, my daughter's in trouble. She's strung out on drugs. She's pregnant. And she's already had several abortions, and she has an appointment for an abortion tomorrow. Will you help my daughter? And so I gave him, back then we didn't have cell phones, I gave him my phone number and I said, call me, you know, first thing in the morning and we'll make a plan. So he called me at 7:30 the next morning, and so I told him where my office was, and I said, you know, her name was Chris, I said, bring Chris by my office and I'm happy to talk to her. And he just went, huh, Chris is not coming to your office. She's not coming to anybody's office. If you want her, you're going to have to go to her. What do we just sing about? God's coming after us, right? I didn't know that song back then. I don't think it had been written. But God was coming after some people. He had already chased me down, and he was getting ready to chase somebody else down. So he said, will you go to her? And I said, under one condition, you have to tell her I'm coming. I'm not just going to knock on a stranger's door. She's got to know that I'm coming. And he said, I'll let her know you're coming. So he said her abortion is scheduled for 1. So that morning, early in my office, there were just me and 2 other people, and we prayed and agreed that the Spirit of God would move, that the spirit of death would be broken over her, that she would choose life. We just prayed that and believed that God was going to go before us. So when I went out and knocked on her door, I was stunned by the beauty of this girl and the harshness of this girl all in one face. She was so beautiful, but because she was so hard and harsh when she opened the door, I just was like, wow, she is really in bondage and in pain and in need. So the first thing she did when she flung the door open was she kind of stepped out, and as she had a cigarette, and she blew the smoke right in my face. But you know what? I wasn't there for me. And I wasn't there for her to make me feel good about myself. I was there to extend the unconditional love of Christ to her. So she used some four-letter words that weren't very nice, because you know what she was trying to do? She was not comfortable with the perfect love of God coming at her. She was trying to push it away. But I found out something that I've already told you about. When it's God's love, it never fails. And so she called me a few names. One of them started with an F, and it wasn't friend. Let's just put it like that, okay? And she was trying to basically get me to be offended and leave. But you know what? When you're operating in the love of Christ, you don't get offended. And I finally asked her if I could come in. And so she kind of flung the door open like she was mad. Okay. And at that very moment when I sat down, I looked at her and God just filled my mouth. He said, when you don't know what to say in that moment, just trust that I'm going to fill your mouth and give you the words to say. And I looked at her and I said, Chris, you know, she had already told me less than an hour is my abortion appointment. So you need to, whatever you got to say, you better say it because I got to go. And I said, Chris, God is showing me that you don't really want to get an abortion. But the reason that you are going is because you believe that this baby is going to be born deformed because of your drug use. And when I said that to her, she broke and just started sobbing. And I got up and I put my hand on her womb. And I said, in the name of Jesus, if you choose life, this baby is going to be born perfect. And I told her, we have a home in Louisiana. I'll buy you a plane ticket. You go there. God will change your heart. And as a result of what happens in your heart, the baby will be taken care of as an automatic byproduct. It's not save the baby, save the baby. How about save the mom? And then the baby gets saved in the process. There's a lot of pro-life groups that just want the baby and they leave the mom hurting. God gave me a vision about that one time of this crowd of people coming at this girl who was pregnant, and it looked like they were coming in to help her, and all of a sudden, it was like a flash. The next flash was they're walking away and oohing and aahing over the baby, and the young girl was laying on the ground weeping. And God said, when you start taking pregnant girls in, you need to know that they are your priority. And when they walk through the door, they're going to feel shame. And the first thing I want you to tell them is, God's not mad at you. He's so proud of you because you had the option to go and get an abortion and you chose life. And he said, and for the girls that come and they've had abortions, you tell them, God's not mad at you because he understood the situation you were in and he understood why you made that decision. And he wants you to know that he loves you and that he's not holding that against you. And you will hold your child again in heaven. So whichever way it goes. So in this girl's case, I had to tell her both things because she had already had abortions. She went to the home. Her life was transformed. It wasn't easy. She still holds the record to this day, the only girl that's ever punched the wall so hard that it damaged the drywall. That's a pretty tough punch. She had a lot of anger, obviously. But God did a work. He set her free from drugs. She had the baby. And he was beautiful. So I want to show you this first picture as I close. This is Parker. Me and Parker made a magazine cover in Nashville that was sitting around in all the grocery stores and business places. They put us on the cover. They did. And then Parker's been in my life for his whole life. He's now 27 years old. And so we had quite a few girls from Nashville that went to the Louisiana home because that's the only home we had at the time. So we got some of those babies together. So the next picture, we took a picture. This is when we had our property in Nashville, no buildings on it. And we took a picture. That's Parker down there on the right. And three of these babies here were, the three on the left were placed in adoptive families because that's what the birth mother wanted. They didn't feel like they were ready to be moms. But Chris chose to parent Parker, and that's Parker. So Parker's in my life, and let me show you these. We did a reenactment of these babies all grown up now. One of them wasn't available for the picture, but we reenacted the ones that were. And so Choices that bring change. When we give people the unconditional love of Christ and they choose to follow Christ, it breaks the generational curse, the generational pattern, and with the power of that one choice, it starts a generation of blessing. Isn't that awesome? And the devil just gets his butt kicked into next year. I love it. The next picture I want to show you, because like I said, number four, Parker's been in my life for his whole life. So I'm a Titans fan, so I had to train Parker to in the ways of God. If you train a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they won't depart from it. So to this day, even though he's 27, he'll still text me during Titans games. And so that's him right there with all of his Titan gear on. I took him to meet Coach Fisher when Jeff was the coach, because he used to be a big Coach Fisher fan. And so just a few weeks ago, 5 years ago, I'm sorry, we had our 30th anniversary celebration. I want to show you a picture of Parker's mom, Chris, and me together. That was made 5 years ago. So we are tight. We are like family. And I'm here to tell you that whatever, no matter what the problem is, whether you're dealing with something past, present, or future, Jesus Christ is the answer. And I'm going to close with this, and then Pastor Mike is going to come. Deuteronomy 20:19 says, this day, what day? Whatever day it is that you're hearing it. So today, it's this day. This day I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And guess what? You can choose life, that you and your seed may live. In my case, it was my spiritual children, because I've never had any natural. But it's both spiritual and natural children. Amen? So Pastor Mike's going to come and give you an opportunity to choose to break all that junk off and receive Christ fully.
Come on, can we give it up for Nancy Alcorn this morning? Come on. What an incredible message. Hallelujah. I just know our church, we've got brokenness in our building, and we need that. We need you and you in our lives. And so I offer you honorary membership here. You're welcome. Skip that Nashville church scene. That's our suburb anyway. Clarksville's the real deal. Hey, these are out in our lobby. We keep these in our bookstore anyway. We love Nancy and what they've offered to us. And I'm just here to tell you, some of you have some real painful regrets in your life. And you need to be set free from that. And we believe in the context of groups and small groups, there's freedom also because of the power of Jesus to set you free. Man, no greater love is there ever shown except Christ come into this world. This is why we celebrate Christmas. It's the coming of Emmanuel, God with us, to be the greatest expression of love ever given, ever. There's no parent that gives greater love than what God gives for us. Can we all stand around the room this morning as we close in prayer? You know, I hate to preach another sermon, but that's what happens when preachers follow preachers. Psalm 23, I was reminded of this text. I was thinking about my daughter, Brooklyn, my youngest, my fourth, and how we play with our kids, and she's still in chase, cutesy, kind of fun mode. And I'll always tell her, I said, Brooklyn, I'm going to get you. And she turns around and runs off. And she gets about as far as she can before she just knows she's toast. And she just bows down and curls up and just waits till I grab her. You might know what I'm talking about with your little kids, you know? And then I just consume her and I just grab her up and I tickle her. And sometimes I'll grab her on the waist and tickle her all the way up in the air. And she's flipping out. She loves it. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to still waters. He restores my soul. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. In the original language, that phrase, goodness and mercy, is the word, the chesed of God. You got to clear your throat for that one. And the chesed of God is God's overwhelming faithfulness to be faithful and to come after you. And then it says, it follows me, but that's actually an inaccurate English word. The word in the Hebrew is radaf. And that word means he violently pursues us, intending to overtake us. And you know, every time I chase after Brooklyn, I'm going to get her. I'm going to catch her. And here's the thing. She knows it's coming. See, many of us, you believe maybe God's after you, but you don't believe he's actually going to get you. And I'm here to tell you today, just settle in, roll up, and let the Lord grab you. I don't care what your shame level is. It doesn't matter what your brokenness is. That's forgiven. There's just overwhelming love of God's faithfulness to be faithful to you, to come after you. Listen, he's in hot pursuit of you, and he intends to get a hold of you. Let him have you this morning. I don't know what you're at, where you're at, what you're going through. All of us carry levels of loaded shame and problems. Just let the Lord have it today. How many of you believe Jesus gave his life for you? Come on, how many of you believe Jesus gave his life for you? Your debt's been paid. It's canceled. You're forgiven. Let him have you. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name for your faithfulness to pursue us in hot pursuit, Lord God. You plan to overtake us. And God, this morning, we yield ourselves to you. We yield our brokenness. We yield our baggage. We yield our wounds, our regrets. God, we yield our future. We yield our present to you. Lord God, we submit every part of who we are to Jesus today, right now. We thank you, Lord God, that no greater love is anyone than this, that he laid down his life for us. Thank you, God, that you are the greatest expression of love ever given, Jesus Christ. That you gave your life for us, and Lord, we submit our lives to you. Would you pray this with me? I don't care where you're at in your walk with Christ, if you're kicking the tires to see if maybe you believe this or not. Listen, quit trying to figure him out. Let him figure you out some more. Come on, give your life to Christ. Everybody say this. Say, God, I'm all in. Come on, say it for real. God, I'm all in. Say, I believe in Jesus, that he died for me, that he's coming after me, that he's chasing me. Say, I submit my life completely to God. I'm all yours. I will live for you for the rest of my life. Say, save me, deliver me, redeem my life, and fulfill me, and I will serve you forever in Jesus' name. Come on, lift your voice to God. Come on, give him praise today. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah, God. Hey, some of you made a first-time decision. Some of you committed again today to submit to Jesus. I want to ask you two things, and then we're just gonna celebrate that chorus one more time. You got us? You ready, Mimi? Listen, if you committed or recommitted your life to Jesus, would you just tell us? There's a card in the seat back in front of you. Just put your name, email, phone number, whatever, and check the box that said what you did, because we want to follow up with next steps for you. And maybe you need Ditch the Baggage or Keys to Freedom in your next semester small group. We want to get that to you and get you ready for that. And second, listen, if you've not connected to the church in the meaningful way that we talk about membership, we think it's a big deal for you to belong here, to participate here, to serve here. Our growth track happens at 11:15 right upstairs. That's your next step. Come on.